Now, last week I started a short series of three sermons on the Christian race. And I hope and trust that some of you, as you've been following the Olympics, and I'm sure the whole country has been agog with the exploits of rowers, swimmers, athletes, and others, and we've been considering the Christian race, the Christian inner race. And perhaps some of the things that we said or looked at have come to mind during the week. Well, I want to continue that theme this morning and next week. Last week, we looked at these topics. We looked at a passage. We looked at the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 9, and we looked at the importance of running to win. And my headings were these: only one wins, run to obtain the prize, verse 24. Don't run aimlessly, was Paul's message. Discipline yourself to run, verse 27. Don't get disqualified, was my last point. And I'm sure we've groaned with some of those who have been disqualified. And we've seen some pretty spectacular things this last week. And we've taken that as an illustration of the Christian life. This morning I want us to look at another aspect of that, of running the Christian race. And I take the theme this morning from Philippians chapter 3, straining towards the goal. Straining towards the goal. If we take last week as a general theme and the issues of running the race, you could say that this follows on because we're now in the race, so we're pressing towards the goal. Looking back on the things that were said last week, perhaps I should have made it more clear, absolutely clear, that we are only in this race if we are converted Christians. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who by his grace has taken hold of us and moved us from a position of a failure and shame and being useless in spiritual terms, certainly not competitors in the way we think of competition and people racing and being athletes, running in a race with a goal in mind. We were outside of all that. We were running aimlessly. We were not involved. And the Lord Jesus Christ took hold of us. And I should have made it absolutely clear that you have to be born again to be in this race. So if this morning you know or suspect that you're not a Christian, then there's some very basic truths that you need to think about and the gospel. And if any of the elders can help you after the service, please raise it as a conversation. Let's talk about it. Share with us, please. But my points this morning come from this chapter, from Philippians chapter 3. And the Apostle Paul is saying, when you're in the race you've started, he puts it like this. Verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or am already made perfect. And I want to summarize this, and I give Warren Wiersbe the credit for these headings this morning. Dissatisfaction is important. What do I mean by that? Well, when you look at the athletes or listen to the rowers or the jumpers or whatever, you listen to these people and they're always dissatisfied with their performance. They may have done very well in the last Olympics, they may have won this or that or the other, but they know they need to improve all the time. And the Apostle Paul is saying, not that I have already obtained this, or am already made perfect. At no point could he say, I am done as a Christian. I've made it. I'm there. There's no need for any further work of grace in my heart. There's no need for sanctification. There's no need for me to change my habits, my behavior, my thoughts. I'm there. I'm done. I'm okay. I'm perfect. No Christian can say that. Not as if I have already obtained. And my question for myself and you with me this morning is this. Am I dissatisfied with where I've got to in the Christian life? We're satisfied with Jesus Christ. We know he's a wonderful and perfect Savior. And we're following and we're seeking to serve him. But we're not satisfied. We shouldn't be satisfied. We are still chasing. We are still running. I have not yet, he says, been made perfect. The teaching on this, the doctrine on this in the Bible is sanctification. We are justified, justification, when we are saved. We are put right in the sight of God. We are accepted and forgiven in the Beloved, in Jesus Christ. But then throughout our lives, there is that process by which the Holy Spirit works in us to improve us, to change us, to make us more Christ-like. The Apostle Paul doesn't compare his race, his running, with others. Not that I have already obtained. He honestly evaluates himself. A.W. Tozer, a Christian preacher and writer, said this many years ago. Hardly anything else reveals so well the fear and uncertainty among men as the length to which they will go to hide their true selves from each other and even from their own eyes. Are we this morning hiding what we really are, even from ourselves? Or do we honestly evaluate our lives and say, I could do better than this? He made it clear he had not yet arrived. In other words, he was poor in spirit, in the language of the Sermon on the Mount. The businessman will often say, if we're not improving, we're going backwards because our competitors are improving. Listen to part of the work of sanctification, Galatians 5:24. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We have passions, we have desires, and we're seeking to mortify, to put those to death. We're seeking to by God's help, by God's grace, to change, to be changed. Not as if we have already arrived, says Paul. We're not on the finishing line. Not that I have already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on. He puts it in another way elsewhere. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. In another place, he says, very practically, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. He takes an aspect of the Christian life and he says, that's an area we can do better in. Let's not think we know it all. Let's not think that we're better than others. Let's not be condemning of what others do, but to encourage them. Let's not provoke other people and envy them. Or take another aspect of the Christian life, prayer. Praying at all times, says Paul in Ephesians, in the Spirit, keeping alert. I was thinking about this and I thought about prayer. When these athletes exercise, they exercise regularly, they exercise with intensity, they exercise with great fervency and zeal. And I thought with regard to prayer, Am I as regular as I could be? Am I as fervent in spirit as I could be? Do I remember the people I should? Do I bring myself to the light of the gospel and to the light of God's gaze? Do I keep alert, watchful over myself and my family and others and the church? Alert, aware of the devil's devices and his traps. In 1 Timothy 4, the apostle says this, train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, and for those of us who've been blown away by the events of these last few weeks in the athletic and sporting world, let's remember this, bodily training is of some value. Godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present and also for the life to come. How wonderful for our athletes to be medal winners and to have the accolades and the acclaim and the joy of it all, but it's temporary. It's passing. Spiritual exercise for godliness is of eternal worth. But secondly, if we look at dissatisfaction, we look now at devotion. Devotion. One thing, says Paul in this passage, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. There is this modesty, there is this awareness of his own failings. I've not made this my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. One thing I do, the lovely expression, it pops up time after time in the Bible. One thing you lack, said Jesus to the rich young ruler. One thing is needful, he said to Martha about Mary's devotion. One thing I know, said the blind man, who had been given sight, that whereas I was blind, now I see. The psalmist says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Here is a person focused on that one thing. What did David want in the Psalms? He says, oh, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and to gaze upon his beauty. That's the one thing that beats everything else. To see God in his glory, to think of the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing, he says, forgetting what is behind, I'm pressing on. No athlete succeeds by doing everything. Now you may say to me, well, there is an event where you do lots of things. Well, okay, there's an exception there, but that's pretty much constrained into certain categories. Athletes win by doing what they need to do well. They focus on that, not on everything else, a little bit of rowing and a little bit of horse riding and a little bit of sailing and running. They focus on winning one thing, doing that one thing well. Are you doing the one thing well, being a Christian? Being a Christian. Being a Christian in your work, being a Christian in your home, being a Christian in church, being a Christian out in the world. When you're about your hobbies, when you're with your friends, when you're in company, when you're in crowds, when you're with one other person, being a Christian. Reminding yourself who you belong to. Reminding yourself of what salvation means for you and what it could mean for those around you. One thing I do, pressing on. Are you working at changing yourself to being a Christian? And the Bible says that God is working in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. As we strain and concentrate on that one thing, we know we cannot do it ourselves. It is the Lord Jesus who saved us, who's continuing to work in us. And then thirdly, direction. Direction. I press on to what? Well, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 14. There's a goal, there's the upward call, there's a prize of the upward call. There's that great prize ahead. Vernon Higham, the hymn writer and preacher, has that wonderful line in one of his hymns, "My God is the end of the journey." The prize of the upward call, that's where I'm going. That's when everything else will begin to make sense and take shape. That's what where I'm heading. Is that where you're heading this morning? For God, for the end of the journey, for the prize of the upward call, for future glory, for being with Jesus Christ, your Lord. Pressing on to the goal. Don't get distracted by failures of the past. Don't get distracted by achievements of the past. People may say of you, well, you know, he had a wonderful testimony. Do you still have that wonderful testimony? Oh, he did this, he did that, he was involved in this Christian work and that Christian work. Are you still doing more in that regard? Are you pressing on to the goal? And at that goal and at that end, I'll touch upon this, but there'll be more, I trust, God willing, next week, on the end of the journey. I listened to one commentator on the radio this week, and he said he was looking at the monitor, and he said, there's sunshine, and I've got an umbrella over my head because I can't see the monitor clearly, because where I'm sitting, I can't see the start of the race. This was a rowing race. He was around a bend or something. And he said, I can only see the start from the monitor. And I'm telling you about the start from the monitor. But when you come to the end, there are thousands and thousands there awaiting to award, to recognize, to acclaim the winner and the prize. And so many have said this week, oh, I could not have done it but for the crowd. And I was put in mind of Hebrews 12. You're ahead of me, aren't you? Seeing as we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race set before us. The medal winners are saying, they lifted me. The noise, the encouragement. There's the goal ahead of us, God waiting for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. There, seated at his right hand, the great cloud of witnesses, people who have gone before, people who have trod this journey, people who have run this race. Whether they were short lives or long lives, whether they were a few laps of sprints, whether they were marathons, they've gone before, they've taught us the way. We can imitate them as we imitate Christ. The prize is ahead, and I quote from another commentator. Right here is the place to touch that most vital and distinctive point in our calling. We did not set up the prize. We did not even call ourselves to run for it. All this is of God and of Christ. Nor does our running create the prize or even earn it. The prize is pure grace. Even our call is nothing but pure grace, like the new life which we are able to run, and the running itself to which grace moves us. A lot of words there, but you see the point? We're straining, we're running, we're being motivated, the Holy Spirit is helping us. But all the while we know we are weak, we know that it is of God, we know it is of the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us will get to that line and say, I did it myself. And indeed, when the athletes reach that goal, they want to thank everybody who has made it possible. And so it is we thank our Lord and Savior. Can I move on to determination? Determination. There's a hymn that speaks about nerving my faint endeavor. been given strength. So now to watch, to work, to war, and then to rest forever. The Apostle Paul here in Philippians 3 says, I press on. He says it twice. I press on, verse 12. Verse 14, I press on towards the goal. You don't win a race by reading about it or talking about it. You win a race by running it, by joining in. And the Apostle Paul says, brothers, verse 17, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Paul isn't boasting. He is saying, where are the followers? Look at the Christian brothers and sisters who are walking, who are giving a great example. And we're to follow and emulate them in mind and heart and will. Do you look to those who walk? Don't follow those who have given up. Don't follow those who are a bad example, and you know they're a bad example. For many of whom I have told you and now tell you even with tears walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. They started, they said they were saved, they became involved, and then they fell away. And then they indulged in themselves and in other areas of life. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame, with mind set on earthly things. Those people said, no, church is not for me. Christian things, not for me. I've done enough. Or others who say, well, I've done my bit now. Let others do what they can. Easing up, indulging in the flesh, not pressing on. And lastly, there is a discipline, isn't there? And we have to obey the rules. And 2 Timothy 2, verse 5 says, an athlete is not crowned unless he obeys the rules. And we've seen such examples of that this last week, the importance of rules and people being disqualified and so forth. What are the rules? Well, the Apostle Paul says in verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way. This is how to think. This is the Christian rule of life, that we're to press on. And if in anything you think otherwise, there are some people who think they are perfect, who, if anyone thinks otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. May the Holy Spirit enlighten you, says Paul, if you hold some different view. Only let us hold true to what have attained. And that involves discipline. And Hebrews says, sometime for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Strive for peace with everyone. If we read the epistles, we will see theology and teaching. We will see what it is to be a Christian, what it is to be saved. And we see too how a Christian is to live, how he is to behave, how he is to change, how he is to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. And my challenge to myself and to you this morning is, am I pressing on? Are you pressing on? Are you in that race, but you've a long way to go? Who knows, you may just have a short way to go, but you're still pressing on. You're aiming for that prize, and the prize is so amazing. And I'll be on that subject next week, the gold medal itself, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. My God is the end of the journey. Is that what you want? To go through this life and to go into eternity with your Saviour. May God help us.